الله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Our discussion is about Holy Quran. Holy Quran, the last book, the final book that has been descended upon the Holy Prophet, the last of the prophets, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you know, that we believe that this Holy Quran is descended from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we not only believe in the Holy Quran, but we also believe in the Holy Scriptures that has been descended on Prophet Moses and Prophet Jesus Christ. Similarly, so as we have faith on the Old Testament that has been descended on the Prophet Moses, and the New Testament that has been descended on the Jesus Christ, similarly we believe on Holy Quran as the last book that has been, as the last and final revelation that has been descended upon the Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we assert that the Holy Prophet in his last sermon pointed out and said to people, O people, I am leaving upon you two valuable things. Inni tarikun fikumus siklain kitaballah wa idrati ahlu bayti. The Holy Prophet said, I am leaving behind you two valuable things. One is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and second is my progeny, my Ahlul Bayt. Now, you know, we make objections on our other Muslim brothers that they have neglected the progeny of the Holy Prophet and they did not act in accordance to the last sermon, last will of the Holy Prophet. And besides, the Holy Prophet said in his last sermon that I am leaving behind you two valuable things, that if you act in accordance to them, then you will never be go astray. Now my question is that in the same way, when we make objection on our Muslim brothers that they neglect Ahlul Bayt, the same objection we shall do on ourselves, that why we neglect the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why we have neglected the Holy Quran? Why? I don't mean that we don't have faith. Still we have faith. All of us have faith on Holy Quran. But the Holy Prophet said, in practice you shall act on Holy Quran, practicing the Holy Quran, not only having faith on Holy Quran. So similar objection is on us, that we have neglected Ahlul Bayt, we have neglected Holy Quran. Just we have taken from Imam Hussein Karbala, and from Karbala only Azadari. Now Azadari is one of the perspective of Karbala, is one of the goals of Karbala. It's not the all and all of Karbala, but we have taken only Azadari. So in the same way, when we make objection on those who rely on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving Ahlul Bayt and claiming Hasbuna Kitab Allah, the book of Allah is enough for us, the same objection shall be on us, that why we leave Holy Quran, why we leave other Imams, why we leave Imam Zamana, and why we leave Imam Hussein and Karbala. Only we have taken Azadari. It doesn't mean that taking Azadari or doing Azadari is bad. No, it doesn't mean that. In fact, Azadari is ibadat, is a worship, is a valuable thing. But the mistake is that relying only on Azadari and leaving all other things, on all other valuable things, I mean the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the remainder part of Ahlul Bayt, is a mistake and is a wrong concept. So it means that we believe that the Holy Prophet said that I'm leaving behind you two valuable things. So if 1 + 1 = 2, and the Holy Prophet said that you will never find the way of guidance, you will never find your destiny till you will stick to the Holy Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and till you will stick to Ahlul Bayt. So the Holy Prophet said 1 + 1 = 2. But we have in parallel our own statements that Azadari only is enough for us, leaving behind Salat and the Holy Book of Quran and all other things. So we are claiming that 1 = 2. Now how it is possible that 1 = 2? 1 is half than 2. Half, 1 is not equal to 2. So now it differs. The Ahlul Sunnah, they have taken the thing, they are claiming that it is Holy Quran, and we are claiming that it is Imam Hussein. But we, in fact, we cannot find our destiny and the right path till we have we act in accordance to the Holy Quran. And when we want to act in accordance to the Holy Quran, it is very, very necessary to have a better understanding of the Holy Book. It is very, very necessary to understand clearly the philosophical existence of the Holy Quran. It is very, very necessary to remove some of the misconceptions we have about Holy Quran. So we mean in this lecture to remove some of the wrong assumptions and to clarify the basic purpose of the Holy Quran, and we will discuss this topic in the form of some subtopics. The first subtopic is the basic utility, prime utility of Holy Quran. What is the basic purpose of sending Holy Quran as a miracle on the Holy Prophet? If the existence of Holy Quran, as we think about it, serves only to prove that Hazrat Muhammad was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if the Holy Quran was meant only to defeat the potteries that lying at the time of the Holy Prophet, then I think that this book, the Holy Quran, should not be the miracle of the Holy Prophet. Means there are two things we shall understand. The first thing is that the Holy Quran is also the miracle of the Holy Prophet, and it is at the same time is a book. At the time of prophets that precede Hazrat Muhammad, the miracle to prove the truthness of the Prophet Moses and Prophet Jesus Christ, the miracle was different. For example, Moses was given different miracle. Jesus Christ was given exceptional birth without father. But in the case of Holy Quran, it's a miracle and at the same time it's a book. Now coming to the Holy Quran, we say that this Quran, which is a miracle, if it was only to prove that Hazrat Muhammad was his prophet, Allah's prophet, and if it was meant, so it should not be, the miracle of Hazrat Muhammad should not be from the book, of the book. Similarly, if Holy Quran is a miracle only in its as a literature and as a literal text, then it should not be a book of knowledge. It should be a book of poetry. If it was meant only to defeat Arab poets, that has at the climax of poetry is at the time when the Holy Prophet ﷺ was there at his time. You know that the Arabs were at the climax of their poetry culture. So, but when we see, when we look at Holy Quran, we see that the Holy Quran is not a book of poetry. Is above the poetry. Is not a book of poetry. So, the Holy Quran is not only meant to prove that Prophet Muhammad was Allah's prophet. Never it was only meant to defeat the poets of Arab and to prove that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, there is the main purpose behind the miracle that comes with Hazrat Muhammad in the form of a book. Why the miracle of Hazrat Muhammad has come down in the form of a book? What is the philosophical existence of a book? What's the basic use of a book, prime need of a book? The prime utility of a book is to read and is to understand the contents of the book. So, if we come to this point, you will see that Hazrat Muhammad, that this book, if we look at the ongoing practice, we'll see that we recite Holy Quran with good voices. We memorize Holy Quran as a blessing. We try to find so many rewards, thousands and thousands rewards of reciting Holy Quran. We also use Holy Quran for istikhara. We use Holy Quran to depart a passenger, just as for his safety. We have these types of use from Holy Quran, but we never read Holy Quran for understanding, to get something from Holy Quran, to understand something from Holy Quran, to increase our knowledge in Holy Quran, to have a better understanding of the message that has come in this holy book. We don't try to understand the message. This is our ongoing practice. So we don't think that it is a book of understanding and that its philosophical existence of a book is to read and understand. We just, as a custom, we recite Holy Quran, we memorize Holy Quran, we decorate Holy Quran in our shelves, in our masajid, in our Husseini and Imam Bargahs, but we never read Holy Quran to understand it. Now, we shall ask Holy Quran itself, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this Holy Quran in Surah Yusuf, chapter 12. It reads, Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Indeed, we have sent it down as an Arabic Quran so that you may apply reason. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun. The goal behind sending down the Holy Quran is to understand, is to think about, is to apply reason, is to gain knowledge, is to get an idea of what message has come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not to take reward. Taking reward is good. Using Holy Quran for other purposes is good, but the prime and the first purpose behind Holy Quran is to understand the Holy Quran. That's why you will see in Surah Zukhruf, it again says, it reads, Inna ja'alnahu Quranan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun wa innahu fi ummil kitab ladayna la'aliyun hakim. We have made it an Arabic Quran so that you may understand it, and indeed with us in the mother book it is surely sublime and wise. The Quran that was on the elevation of Ummul Kitab, of the mother book, this Quran is just like a photocopy of the mother book that has been descended from the Ummul Kitab. The Quran, the book which we have between our hands, this Quran that we have with ourselves, is a photocopy of the mother book that was on the elevation of Ummul Kitab. And at that point, at that elevation, the Holy Quran was sublime and the Holy Quran was wise. Innahu fi ummil kitab ladaina la aliyun hakim. So the same Holy Quran that was sublime and wise was descended and was addressed in the language of Arabic that you shall understand it, that the humans get an idea of what message has come down to them from their Lord, their Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Summarize that, we may use Holy Quran for reciting with good voices, for listening to Holy Quran from good qaris. We can memorize Holy Quran, we can recite Holy Quran for rewards, we can do so many things, but the first and prime duty with respect to Holy Quran is to understand. It's not only just to read translations, it's to understand, to have an idea of what messages come in the Holy Quran. This is the first and prime purpose of the Holy Quran. And if we are not understanding the Holy Quran, if we are not understanding the verses and ayats of Holy Quran, then we are, if we are not using Holy Quran, the basic and primary use of Holy Quran is to understand. And if we are not understanding Holy Quran, it means that we are not using Holy Quran. If we are not using Holy Quran, we are losing Holy Quran. Because it is very simple that if you are not using a thing, then you are losing it. Topic is that the Holy Quran is a book of guidance. The Holy Quran has descended and has come down to provide guidance to humans, guidance towards the right path, guidance towards the Lord, guidance towards Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right path. And the first verse of the Holy Quran points out to that this importance of the Holy Quran. Alif Lam Mim, Talikal Kitabu La Raiba Fihi, Hudalil Muttaqeen. This book, in which there is no doubt, is guidance to Godberry, is guidance to Muttaqeen. So basically, the Holy Quran is a book of guidance. Now I will come to my second question regarding guidance. I will like to ask my listeners that if the Holy Quran is a guidance, then guidance for whom? For all, or guidance only for Godberry? It seems from the first verse of the second chapter that it provides guidance only to Godberry, only to those who have fear of God in their hearts. Well, from other verse, it seems that it's a source of guidance for all humans, as it has come in verse 185 of the same chapter, chapter 2. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Of Ramadan is one in which the Quran was sent down as guidance to mankind with manifest proofs of guidance and the distinguisher. In this verse, the Holy Quran introduces itself that it is a source of guidance for all humans. It's a source of guidance, it's a mean of guidance to mankind, hudal linnas, and it's also a distinguisher between truth and false, right and wrong, al-haqq wal-batil. So how we can remove this contradiction or this difference in statements that has come in the first verse and that has come down in the verse 185? That the first statement was that it's a means of guidance only for Godberry, while in the verse 185 it says it's a mean of guidance for all mankind. The answer to this question is that the Holy Quran has got two types of guidance. One type of guidance is for all humans, and that is the guidance that is common to all humans. And the second guidance is the guidance that is special to Muttaqeen, is special to Godberry peoples, those who have real faith in their heart, is special to them. Now when we analyze the guidance, let me give you one example of the guidance. If you are searching an address and you need and you seek help from your friend, then you will ask him to help you finding your address. There are two ways for your friends to help you. The first one is that he will guide you, he will give you the hints, or he will give you the road map to your address. The second one is that he will personally accompany you to your destination. Means he will come with you and he will come with you till you will reach your destination. So there are two types of guidance. The first one is to ira'atut tariq, is to show the way. The second one is to al-isalu ila al-matlub, to accompany you, to take you to your destination. So similarly, the Holy Quran has got two type of guidance. The first one is to show the way of, is to show the right way, is to show the Sirat al-Mustaqim, right path. The second one is to take those people to their destination. So the first one, the first type of guidance showing the right path is common for all humans and bringing and taking muttaqin to their destination, taking people to their destination, personally taking, accompanying people to their destination is special to muttaqin. And in this way we can solve the difference in the guidance, that the first one was special to muttaqin and the second one was common to all humans. As we see that the prophets would personally take people towards the right path, and sometimes they would only advise people to follow the right path, and sometimes practically they took people towards the right path. So we summarize in the second point that the Holy Quran is a book of guidance, but it's a book of guidance not for all in some meaning in the way of taking them towards their destination, but it's a book of guidance for all in the meaning that it's showing way to all. But the guidance in the Holy Quran is the best of the guidance, is the practical guidance, as it reads in chapter 17, verse 9, Inna hazal Qur'ana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam wa yubashshiru al-mu'minina alladhina ya'maluna as-salihati anna lahum ajran kabira. Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them. So the Holy Quran is not only a book of, just like a storyteller book, is a book of history. Is not a only a theoretical book, is a book of practice, is a practical book, is guide you towards the best of the religion, is towards the best of the path that you may have among all the religion, from secularism to materialism to Marxism to Christianity, Judaism and Islam. You will find the best of the way of life in Islam. In Islam, your life, your worldly life will be secure, and similarly your hereafter will be secure. And the rules are very, very practical and nearer to your nature. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Means this Islam guides you towards a religion that has been made in accordance to your nature. So the Holy Quran is not a theoretical book, is not a book of theory, is not a history book, is not a storytelling book. It gives good news to those who are faithful. Yubashiru, good news to faithful, to mu'mineen. But in fact, it leads you towards the right path. Yahdi lillati hiya aqwam, towards the rightest and straightest of the path, it leads you and it takes you with yourself towards the right path, not only just to give you only the good news about your future and hereafter.
Al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya aqwam wa yubashshiru المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا.
Now we come to our third topic. Third subtopic is our perception about Holy Quran is wrong. We think that the Holy Quran is a spiritual book, and it is only a book of guidance. While the Holy Quran is a book of guidance, at the same time is a book that may mislead you. Now, to prove my statement from the Holy Quran, I will refer you to this verse. من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارة. We sent down in the Quran that which is a cure and mercy for the faithful, and it increases the wrongdoers only in loss. This verse of chapter 17 Isra and verse number 82 is a clear sign that the Holy Quran is not only a cure and mercy for the faithful, but at the same time it's a means of loss for the wrongdoers. So to make Holy Quran beneficial and to benefit from the Holy Quran, we should omit the attribute of unjust from ourselves. Means that if someone is doing injustice to his wife, to his family, to his countrymen, to everyone else, even to himself, so he is zalim. In the term of Arabic, the word zalim refers to one who is a oppressor, who is doing injustice. So if someone is unjust towards his parents, towards his brothers, towards his friends, towards his colleagues, towards his neighbors, or towards anyone else, is not giving the humans their due rights, then he is zalim in the eyes of Quran. And the Holy Quran, instead of providing guidance to this guy, he will mislead him and he will increase in his loss. So the Holy Quran for this person is not a profitable, is a means of profit, or is a profitable business. Rather, the Holy Quran will be proved a means of loss and a business of loss for this guy. So if we are here to seek guidance from the Holy Quran, to seek spirituality from the Holy Quran, we shall erase this sifat of zulm and injustice from ourselves. The example of this is just like a capsule of Imodium. You know, the capsule of Imodium means to relieve you from diarrhea. But if someone has throat infection, and if he will use Imodium, then what will the effect? The Imodium will be proved more harmful to this person than to relieve him from throat infection. So as we see, the Holy Quran is, think about Holy Quran, our misconception about Holy Quran, that this is only the book of spirituality, is a book of guidance, is a means of guidance, is profitable for all, is not true. Rather, it is a means of loss, and it increases the loss of those who are cruels and oppressors, and who do injustice to themselves or to other humans. And that is the meaning of the Holy Prophet, when the Holy Prophet said, "Rubata lil Quran wal Quran yal anuhu." There are so many reciters. We think about them that they are gaining reward from Holy Quran. Rather, instead of gaining reward from Holy Quran, they are losing what they had with themselves. Rubata lil Quran wal Quran yal anuhu. There are so many reciters that they recite Holy Quran while at the same time the Holy Quran curse on them. And the example of this you will find at the time of the Holy Prophet, at the time of Holy Prophet, when the Holy Prophet was among them to explain the verses of Holy Quran. It was the beginning of Quran, it was a time of Quran, it was a time of Holy Prophet, but you will see so many people, especially Khawarij, that Khawarij, they would recite Holy Quran. They were at the time of Holy Quran, they were Sahabas. But Holy Quran, instead of providing them the guidance, adds to their loss. Adds to their zalal. They lost their way more than they were before. That's how you will find them, that they were arguing with the verses of Holy Quran, and they waged a war against Imam Ali in the battle of Nahrwan, arguing from the Holy Quran, La hukma illa lillah. So the Holy Quran added to their loss. To these Khawaris, these people that were lying at the time of Holy Prophet, the Holy Quran did misleadings and their losses, and provide more loss to them. Subtopic is about one of the misconceptions that some of the people have. They claim about reading Holy Quran, and while they assert to read Holy Quran, they claim that Holy Quran has made simple. And they argue from one verse of the Holy Quran, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. In chapter 54, verse 17, this verse has come, and it has repeated four times it has come, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. And they claim that you can rely on yourselves reading Holy Quran, and the Holy Quran has made very, very simple. Now, if the simplicity means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made simple all the hidden facts and has brought light and has made simple all the hidden facts, and this is not going to be true. The purpose is that the meaning of this verse is certainly we have made the Quran simple for the sake of admonishment. So is there anyone who will be admonished? This verse, as it has been repeated in the same chapter several times, is going to tell us the wrongdoings of the people of Pharaoh, the people that were with Pharaoh, the people that were with those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down His punishments. So we shall learn lesson from this story, that from this truth that has what went wrong with the previous nation, that the punishment and azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come down to them, to the people of Aad, to the people of Samud, to the people that were with Prophet Nuh. So when the Holy Quran describes the wrongdoings of these people that were at the time of Prophet Nuh, that were at the time of Prophet Moses, the Pharaoh, and Qarun, and people like these, that they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at that time Holy Quran describes their wrongdoings, and then it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent punishment to them. So if the similar will be our behavior, then the similar punishment may come to us. So that's why the Holy Quran pursue here that we have made it simple to draw lessons and to learn from what went wrong with the previous nations. It doesn't mean that the all and all of the hidden facts of the Holy Book has made simple or is very, very simple to all humans. No. In reality, the Holy Quran is a hidden book. It doesn't mean that we shall not understand Holy Quran, we shall not try to understand Holy Quran, we shall not read Holy Quran, we shall not read Holy Quran with translations and in detail, concentrating on the meanings of the Holy Quran. No. It does not mean that. But we want to clarify that we shall know more about about this hidden book. In chapter 6, Surah Waqia, verse 76-80, it reads, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَحَرُونَ. This is indeed a noble Quran. No one touches it except the pure one, gradually sent down from the Lord of all the worlds. تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So the Holy Quran is a noble book, fi kitabim maknoon, it is hidden, it is in a preserved tablet. One of the translation that it is in a preserved tablet, the other translation is it is in a guarded book. So in reality the Holy Quran is in the mother book, is in a hidden book. Dhalikal kitab, in the first verse, the Holy Quran points towards the farthest point, Zalik. Zalik in Arabic is not a sign, is not a word that hints towards a person or thing which is nearer. Rather, it points to a thing, place or person that is far. Dhalik al-kitab. So the reality of the Holy Quran is hidden. And after that it said, no one touches it except the pure one. So there is the question that arises in our mind, that if the Holy Quran is a hidden book, why it was sent down and been made a source of guidance for humans and muttaqeen? The answer is that